Amen. Well, it's an honor and privilege to get to be with you during these days, and I appreciate the Lord, and I appreciate Brother Calloway singing those songs. What a great help it is to me.
Amen.
And so you can turn to Isaiah chapter number 58, Isaiah chapter number 58, and I tell you tonight I've struggled with what to do, and sometimes as preachers you try to find out what the mood of everything that's going on, and sometimes the Lord works that way and puts it together, but it seemed like the Lord confirmed in my heart with that last song completely, probably before that, in sin no more will I abide. Amen.
Amen.
And so I want to look here in Isaiah chapter number 58. Good to see this good crowd out in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I'm just glad to be here on a Friday night, aren't you?
Amen.
Nowhere else I'd rather be on a Friday night than in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad you're here, glad you made the choice to come for the good part. Amen.
Amen.
Not about the good part being me, but being about the Word of God and being in the house of God. And that's what the good part is. So let's look here in Isaiah chapter 58. We'll read one verse, and that'll be verse number 1. God said to Isaiah, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had to come into your house and into your presence. And Lord, I know there's some hearts tonight, Lord, that are down low, but I'm glad you're able to lift them up. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that no doubt that there's a lost sinner in our midst, that you convict their hearts and you draw them unto yourself that they might be born again. And Father, I'm nothing without you. Lord, I can do nothing without you, but you said through you I can do all things. And I pray that you'd help me tonight. I pray that you just take the message you've laid on my heart and do what you'd see fit to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look here at this verse and probably a familiar place with most people here tonight. But God, I believe out of a broken heart and God with a grieved heart, says to Isaiah, to the nation of Israel, through his man of God, he says to Isaiah, concerning the situation that is taking place, the wickedness, and in the people that have no peace in their wickedness, he said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." And I want to preach tonight on sounding off against sin. Amen. I'll say tonight, I'm not preaching to get the approval of the brethren, and I don't think you would. I'm not preaching tonight to get a card to call myself the most controversial evangelist or anything like that. I want to preach out of a broken heart that I believe God had as he inspired Isaiah to preach again the sins, the transgressions of his people of that day. And I believe we're in the day and hour we're living in, we need some preachers that will not hold back. That's what that word spare not means. The word spare means to hold back. But God is saying to Isaiah, he's saying, take my word and what I've said about sin and proclaim it. Cry aloud what I've told you to cry aloud about. And we're living in a day where some preachers of our day are holding back the truth of the Word of God. But you'll find out about that also said, he said, cry aloud. I mean, God said, Isaiah, I want you to verbally and loudly take my word and say in my place what I would say. I believe that's what my responsibility as a preacher is to say what God says. And I want to say it how God would say it tonight. I mean, there's been times as a preacher I failed to probably say it like God would have me to say, and I'm glad the Holy Ghost would rebuke me and let me know that my spirit wasn't right. I tell you tonight, I don't want to have the spirit that James and John had there that one time, the sons of thunder. Thank God for their zeal and thank God for their desire, but it wasn't them that said, well, Lord, why don't you call fire down from heaven and devour them? Now, if God would have done that, he'd been just as justified as when he done it in Elijah's day, whenever he devoured those false prophets and those people that were against the man of God. But the reason Isaiah did that was not necessarily because they was against him, but they was against his God and the truth of his God. And so any man of God that stands up and cries aloud and spares not against sin, that's doing it because he wants to be looked upon as a great
great man of God tonight. He's doing it for the wrong reason. But I tell you tonight why I believe God has laid this upon my heart. Because God has a hand that he wants to save people with. Amen. The Bible said there in Isaiah chapter number 59. God said there in Isaiah 59 verse number 1. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know why tonight I feel like that God wants me to cry aloud and spare not and lift up my voice like a trumpet and show me and show you and show saints of God and sinners and people here and people on the radio what God says sin is, because there's a God in heaven tonight that if you're here lost, he wants to reach down, and I believe his hand stretched out still, don't you? I'm glad that God's hand stretched out still. That's why I had this meeting tonight, and he's willing to take that hand. His hand's not short tonight to reach down in the lowest place in this earth. Hey, the songwriter said he reached way down for me. I don't care how far down you are tonight, there's a sovereign God in heaven that can reach way down where you're at and bring you out if you'll acknowledge your sin in his sight, and you'll know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a great and mighty hand, a God that can save you from your sins. Amen. I tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven that's trying to take his hand and save some saints of God from some more heartache and trouble in their homes. He's trying to save some churches from troubles and heartaches. You know where it comes from tonight. Sin's where it comes from. And we live in a day where men of God more than ever before need to cry aloud, spare not, and lift up their voice like a trumpet and show God's people their sins and their transgressions against God, because there's a hand up there that's not shortened tonight. But listen, I want God to hear my prayer, and I want God to hear and to work and move in my life. I want to deal with my own sin and your sin tonight, where God might save us and God might hear us and God might do a work in these days. Amen. I'm telling you, sin's crept in out of the church. It don't surprise me that the world is so sinful, because the church is so sinful in our day. Amen. God said to Isaiah, he said, his hand's not shortened that he cannot say, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And he said, and listen, there was a time when there wasn't as many outward sins in America. I mean, but there's iniquity in man, had that sin of his conscience and his mind and his heart. But I'm telling you what, it's got where in churches people ain't afraid to flaunt their sin, and no wonder it's out in the world, and they're prancing the streets and spitting in the face of God and saying, well, where's the judgment of God at? Amen. God said to Isaiah, cry aloud. He said there in Isaiah 59, he says, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Amen. He said, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness. Amen. You'll find out here in this time. I want you to know more and more tonight. I'm not up here to make a show or somebody can go home and say, well, he really put blood and guts all over the wall. I got a burden on my heart about the sinful condition of our churches most off, and the sinful condition. Hey, I've seen what it's done to my family. All my side of the family's on drugs. They've been divorced and live in fornication and live as whoremongers. Everything everything else, amen, is going on in our day. I'll say, thank God there's a God in heaven that wants the men of God and the people of God to cry loud and spare not and lift up their voice like a trumpet. Amen. Oh, I know the excuses. There's more in the Bible than that to preach. They say, well, there's a time and there's a place for that. But it sure don't ever sure seem to be the time or the place. I feel like tonight's the time, and tonight is the place. I'll tell you this tonight, and I'm not being disrespectful, but if Sister Hall was here tonight, I don't know if she'd say amen out loud, but I promise you, hey, thank God, she'd say praise the Lord. Thank God, preacher. She might say, I got some grandkids. I got some family members. I got some that are playing around with sin. Amen. Sin's going to keep fascinating you, sinner. Amen. You just ask Eve about it when she saw the tree. When she saw the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and wanted to make one wise. Hey, you just ask Achan about it when he saw that Babylonian garment. You see what it did? You wonder what his heart was like. He wouldn't even repent when God gave him a warning and said, tomorrow. I don't know whether he died first, but you can imagine that maybe he saw his children stoned to death, seen them burn alive. I don't know which ones went first or went together. I'm telling you, sin will fascinate you. It's a fascinating thing to your flesh. Ask David about seeing Bathsheba out there up on the housetop. It fascinated him. And hey, the sword never departed from his house. I'm telling you tonight, a sin you might be meddling in, maybe something that you have to suffer through the rest of your days, and your children have to suffer through the rest of your days. It'll fascinate you, won't it? It'll find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Ask Achan again. Ask David again. Thank God. We always say he's got a bony finger. I don't know what kind of finger he had. I don't know if he pointed his finger, but I'm telling you, old Nathan the prophet came in there and said, David, thou art the man.
Right. Amen.
Sin will find you out. It'll find you out. Amen. You think nobody knows. I promise you, God knows. Ask Adam. Ask Adam. God said, where art thou, Adam? Adam wanted to hide it. Let me just go ahead and say tonight, whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know what? They feel all right to go to some little booth and confess it, and they stand up and confess it in the church house. You know how many people, Brother Shep, no doubt you pastored, that may have stood up, confessed it right there in the church house, and go right back to it and not forsake it. Hey, mercy comes when you repent of it, when you forsake it. I'm not preaching sinless perfection, but I'm telling you, inside of your heart, the real forsaking of sin.
Amen.
Amen. Sin will fascinate you. Sin will find you out. Amen. Ask Cain about it. Amen. Ask Cain about it. Sin lieth at the door. He said, why art thou wroth? And Cain, God knew, and God let him know your brother's blood's crying from the ground. I'm telling you tonight, there's a God in heaven who always extends mercy first, but there is a God in heaven who will execute wrath and judgment. Amen. Sin will fasten you. Amen. David said, my sin's ever before me. Ask Samson about it. Ask Gehazi about it and that leprosy. Look in the Bible. I know you can't really ask them, but I'm saying go and look and find out what happened in the Word of God and find out that God is no different than He ever was. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'm glad of that tonight. But hey, what was I saying? They say, well, there's more in the Bible than that. I've heard them say, well, people feel guilty enough. stuff. Oh, really? Guilt is a good place tonight. Amen. Thank God for the law that would make sin exceeding sinful. Thank God for a law that makes man guilty in his conscience. Thank God for the law of God that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. It'd do us good tonight just to plead guilty. If we find out how holy God's law is tonight, every one of us would be on our face crying out and praising God for His mercy toward us tonight. Sin will fasten you. What Samson found out, isn't it? Sin will finish you. James 1 said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And the Bible says, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Isn't that right? And it says, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I'm telling you tonight, sin still destroys. And sin still deceives. And sin still brings death. I'll tell you tonight, if you're here lost, you're headed to eternal death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's got a gift for you tonight. If you confess your sins and repent, turn repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll see here tonight, I'm all over the place, but I believe I'm right in line. Amen. Is it sounding off against sin? You'll find here that, look at that. Somebody, here's another excuse. Well, that's Old Testament. You heard that one? Yes, it's Old Testament. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their sin, and the house of Jacob their transgression. Another way around, show them their transgression, house of Jacob their sin. You know what God's saying right there? He's saying not sparingly rebuke or reprove people of their sins. You know what God said over there? As you talk about a perilous time in the book of 2 Timothy, He said over there in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1, He said, I charge thee therefore, talking to the man of God, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You ain't going to hear that from Rick Warren. You ain't going to hear that from Joel Osteen. You ain't going to hear that from Charles Stanley. You ain't going to hear that from Moses or from Swindoll. You ain't going to hear that from MacArthur. You ain't going to hear that to an extent with a lot of people. I'm not making a name for myself tonight. I'm just telling this the burden of my heart. I'm not saying you got to do it all the time, but I'm telling you more than ever before we need it. Amen. So God is giving us Old Testament. He said, not sparingly, cry aloud, spare not. That word sparing, spare means don't hold back. Refrain not, hide not, restrain not. You know what my flesh want to do tonight? Wanted to refrain from this. I promise you, I'm having a good time in the Lord, amen. This ain't no easy thing. If you think it is, you're crazy. You still ain't been much yet. I ain't done yet. I'm getting general about sin. I'm gonna get personal about it. Amen. Thank God a preacher got personal with me about it. You know what that word spare means? It means to withhold light. Amen. You know what I'm trying to do tonight? Give some light.
you'll take it, if you'll not think I'm so enlightened, I don't need it. The Bible said over there in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I believe there's simple-minded people here tonight. You can get light from God, and God wants to show light in your darkness. Hey, I was in darkness in my sin. I was deceived. I'm glad a man of God preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and he shined the light of the glorious gospel in my heart. You know, whenever it really penetrated my heart, after I found out how wicked I was, after I found out where I was headed, amen, thank God for a man that did not withhold the light from me. So what does it mean to withhold the light? To leave in darkness. I believe we're left in darkness about a lot of things in this day. God's talking to a preacher here in this text, isn't that right? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him. Person. All things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so when we preach the life of Jesus, a lot of times they say, well, just preach about Jesus. If we really preach Jesus, it exposed every sin in here, amen. It exposed the deepest, darkest sins. If we really preach the Jesus of the Bible. Let me ask you tonight, is there some way you're living tonight you really believe Jesus would live that way? Do you believe Jesus would tattoo up His body? You believe Jesus would make Himself a drunkard?
No.
That just ain't sin no more.
Come on,
from what I've heard. Amen. It still is.
Yeah.
I'm still in general sin. Just y'all hold on a minute. Amen. Just sin in general. That means to withhold light and leave in darkness. But I'm telling you what, His life was the light of men. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And thank God, He's made higher than the heavens tonight. He's seated on His high and His holy throne. He ain't going to come back off and die again for anybody. He suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust. Amen. Hey, thank God tonight. His Father made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And can you believe this? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. So I got Old Testament authority for what I'm doing. I got authority scripturally. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And he said to Titus over there, he said that we ought to do it sharply. Sometimes, amen. He told Titus, he said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. He said the Cretans are always liars, slow bellies. He said they're lazy, they're liars. He's going on and on about them. He said, rebuke them sharply, that they be sound in the faith. Amen. Thank God for a preacher like Brother Ronnie Jones, that rebuked me sharply.
Amen.
As my pastor years ago.
Amen.
And I'm not claiming I'm anything, but I'll tell you, there's one thing about that man's preaching, and that knowing that man could ring my phone at any time, say what's going on with you and what's your problem, amen. I thank God for a man that'll preach and a man that'll be plain, amen. I'm glad he's done that with me a few times, amen. You say, why a few? Because just I didn't like it the first time. I didn't like it the second time. But I tell you what, I sure did. I mean, the new man liked it. But hey, thank God tonight for preachers that'll deal with sin. Everybody okay tonight? You should rebuke them sharply. So you'll find out tonight, sounding off against sin, and God said to Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not. He's almost saying, Isaiah, make a list and don't deviate from it. So I was digging through my, I'd had this, this wasn't on my radar at all, Brother Shepherd. I was sitting in there studying and thought I had one that I wanted to preach. And the Lord just kicked the bucket over, and so I just looked in everything, my notes I had about sin. Don't worry, I already went through 3 pages and got one left, but it's a long one. Amen. Listen tonight, I love you, and I don't want sin to wreck your and ruin your life. Amen. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their sin and the house of Jacob their transgressions. I'm glad that's what God wants to do. Amen. You know, I thought about a sin of our day is busyness. So how's that a sin? Thank God for people that will work and will be busy. Amen. I tell you what, James said again over there, go to now you that say today and tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. He said, for what is your life? Are you busy in your life or God's life? I tried to deal with sinners for a little bit. Maybe you'll get born again, sinner, if you're here tonight. I'm telling you, there's a hand of God wants to reach down and bring you out of your sin.
Amen.
Amen. He loves you, but he hates sin.
Sure.
I wonder tonight, are you busy in God's work or your work? You busy in your life or God's life? Here's what God said. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You say, well, God won't let me have my life. You better make sure you're born again. Christ, who is our life. Hey, when I got born again, he is my life. Hey, thank God tonight. The busyness of this day is turning into sin. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. He said, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Maybe there's some good things you know you ought to do, but you're too busy with you. We're too preoccupied to worship God. And that preoccupation will lead us to sin in our life. Isn't that right, Brother Bell? So how do you know? Guilty. I'm preaching to me and you tonight. There's times I get so busy in what I think needs to be going on, and hey, find out that it's not a faith, it's sin, amen. We'll find out, thank God, that the people need to cry out in this day against jobs in a wrong way. I'm not preaching against work, I'm preaching against jobs that take you out of the will of God. I'm preaching against vacations that take you out of the will of God. Hey, I'm preaching against parties and sports and swimming and fishing and hunting. I didn't want to hit that because I like to hunt. But amen. I'm preaching against anything that'll pull you away from God and y'all not to. Somebody said, well, I've heard this over and over on the radio and I understand it. I've said it. They said, it's not a sin to be tempted. In general, it's not. Our Lord was tempted, and yet without sin. But I tell you, if you put yourself in a situation to get tempted,
come on.
Knowingly,
yeah.
Would that not be sin, Brother Patton?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes,
busyness. I hit that one first because I know good and well. I mean, we're running to and fro. We're busy as everything. I really wonder if we don't watch out, we're going to get so busy, we get into sin. I mean, we get into sin and preoccupied, and we have committed sin and omitted sin in the midst of our busyness.
Amen?
Let me see where the Lord wants me to go next. This is just what's on the list that I wrote down years ago, drunkenness. I preached here at this church. I preached this message a long time ago, and it's entitled Sin for a Season. I wrote summer over here beside it. Amen. But it's winter time right now. But you know what I found out? People don't even keep their clothes on. Amen. That's the necklace. Let me get drunkenness out of the way. If I can read this, amen. Been a long time since I preached this. Sometimes when you're desperate and don't know which way to go, you just pull out everything. Listen, it is good to laugh, but hey, I'm very serious tonight. I'm laughing with you. Amen. Sometimes you got to laugh so you don't cry. Amen. But
amen.
Put sin for a season. There's pleasure in sin for a season. I dealt with the sins of the summer whenever I preached this. I don't know how long ago it was, but busyness. Drunkenness. Amen.
Yeah.
I preached what about a month ago here on the story in every bottle and how, let me just say this tonight, God is still against intoxicating beverages he's ever been.
That's right.
And you know what you are if you drink one sip? I believe biblically you're a drunk.
That's right.
That's where I believe it at.
That's right.
Amen. I believe we ought to cry aloud and spare not against the drunkenness of this day. There's a lot of social sipping badness in our day. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't turn the water into a strong drink. He did not. And if you read this Bible, it'll teach you the difference between fresh squeezed grape juice and the difference between the wine of violence. It's still sin. Don't matter how many fellas go to college and get their degrees and study all this about wine and tell you how much you can drink or how much you can't drink. I tell you what, I don't need no wine and spirits. I got the Spirit of God, amen. I got the wine of the joy of God inside of my heart, and I don't want to touch the stuff. Amen. God's against it. Amen. What an accusation against the Lord Jesus Christ to say he put the bottle to his neighbor's lip there at a wedding. Y'all hang on, this is going to be long tonight, all right? If y'all need to stand up with me. I got to stand up the whole time. Amen. So why are you preaching that? I'm telling you, you know how many lives have been destroyed by the bottle? Just follow it and see. No, don't. Amen. Nakedness. You know why? Busyness and drunkenness. I've heard people say, oh, I just had to get away from all of it and I had to sit down and drink a beer. That's silly. That's the devil. Amen? Just ask Belshazzar over there. And if you're saved, you're God's vessel. Amen? God didn't like it that they took the vessels of his house. Y'all see, God didn't like they took the vessels of his house and made a mockery against God. I said this other night, your flesh, if you're saved and do anything it used to do, I tell you what, God will bring a harsh judgment. If you're a child of God and you bring that filth into your vessel, bring it into this temple of Almighty God. You're deceiving yourself. Is that what it says? Y'all hang on. Everybody stay with me, all right? This is serious stuff right here. The sin is still wicked and destructive and destroying tonight. I know I've already said it, but I want to say it again tonight. God's still against busyness and leaving him out. Hey, the plowing of the wicked sin. Thank God people that will plow, but if they're too busy to bow their knee and thank God for the rain and thank God for the sunshine, hey, they're too busy and they're sinning. Amen. Drunkenness is still a sin. Nakedness is still a sin. Hey, they knew they was naked after they sinned. Nakedness is still a sin. Amen. Nakedness is associated with shame. Associated with demonic activity. Amen. We got a naked generation. It amazes me. They'll go to the store and don't have it. In this kind of way, I guarantee you go up there to Walmart tonight, if they wasn't in their pajamas. Let me add one to that. I don't think it's on the list. Laziness.
Amen.
You're so lazy you can't go to the store without putting on some side your pajamas.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Where was that before that? Oh, if they ain't in their pajamas, they'll have a big old toboggan on their head and a jacket over their body.
Yep.
Have short shorts on.
Yeah.
Men and women. Amen.
Yep.
I'm preaching the season. If it's summertime, we'd really, well, sometime be here for too long, won't it?
That's right.
I was in a restaurant the other day, and well, it is. It's showing off skin parts of your body. You don't have to be completely naked to be naked,
right,
biblically. Go to these stores and buy these cut-up blue jeans.
Yeah.
Right up to their midsection, if I can say it that way. That's cool. I thought it was just the silly teenagers. I was down in Alabama preaching, stopped in the Golden Corral, and Grandma came around the counter at the granddaughter, and she had on her cut pants all the way down. That's just silly. And I've heard they cost the most money. There's a problem. There's sin in your life when you want them to see enough of your shoulder, enough of your chest, enough of your legs. Hey, listen, there's a problem somewhere, and it says sinful in the sight of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Nakedness leads to fornication. Why is it that your daughter's daddy? Well, we'll just deal with daddy. It's probably daddy's fault. You know what a man is, and you still let her walk out like that.
Yep.
Why is it that if you change the material and make it swimsuit material, she can walk out in front of everybody? Y'all with me? She can walk out in front of everybody, and it's a bathing suit. But if it's made out of hard for me, but I believe it needs to be known.
Yep.
Out of cotton, not swimwear. If he looks in the window, he's a peeping Tom. But if she walks out in front of him naked, it's fashion. Right? It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Avoid fornication, isn't that right?
Right.
I wonder how much fornication you watched on television this week. Do you know if an actor kisses another woman on the screen for money, you're watching fornication if them two ain't married.
Right.
It's just a show. It ain't in the eyes of God.
Right. Right.
Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
God don't have no favorite shows. God don't have his soap operas.
Right.
And neither should you.
Yeah, ma'am.
Because two fornicators and whoremongers. You say, why are you saying that? I don't want them to be saved. I want the hand of God to reach down their life and to change their life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is hard. They crawled in the bed there together on the television. I mean, surely to goodness you wouldn't let them physically do that. Surely you wouldn't let them walk into your house and do that. There's really no difference in the sight of God.
Right, right.
That'd be right tonight.
Yeah,
this is needful if you think it is or not.
That's right.
Amen.
Say,
what are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to cry aloud, spare not, lift up my voice like a trumpet and show God's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Hey, thank God tonight. I'm glad I'm a royal descendant from a king. Hey, and I want to live like one, thank God. I want to live for his glory. And you know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to have to deal with sin in my life. I
I want you to do that.
Amen.
I want you to be born again if you're not. I want you to go from a child of the devil to the child of God.
Amen.
Amen. I blew this out loud, but hey, thank God. Swimming parties. Man, I preached a good message when I preached this. Maybe I stole this from Brother Ronnie Jones. I don't know. Well, my kids had to start playing sports, so they had to dress a little different than they used to. It can get so tight you're immodest. Is that right? Men and women. You're immodest, sir, if you want to show off your biceps and other parts of your body through your clothes, sir and ma'am. So you're mad. I'm trying to help you. Listen, young people, if these old ones here are not going to get it, they're too, what do they call it, too old and set in their ways, to let their ways lead them where they're going. I'm telling you why you got a chance. You better listen to what God has me to say to you tonight. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you know that God's wanting to save you and spare you.
Amen.
My parents are more worried about their popularity than they are their purity. More worried about them being, they'd rather have them lusted over than laughed at. Amen?
Yeah.
That's why your little granddaughters ought not to be cheerleaders down at the junior pro.
Amen.
Say that's stupid. You know how many pedophiles are running around in this nation today? Amen?
Yeah.
Now don't get quiet. You know why they have cheerleaders at a football game? It ain't to cheer. I'm a man. I'm just being honest. So say, what do? I don't go to football games.
Amen.
Because I'm flesh and I'm human. Let me say this in the right way, and I'm not a sodomite. I don't mean that wrong. Amen. You said there wasn't any more bad weather coming, right? Let's see what else I can read down here. Look, if y'all can't read it. Here's my other list. That's where I was at. Let me tell you tonight, fools. Like a mock at sin. I don't know what's in your heart tonight. But I just encourage you, don't mock it. If you can come up, hey, I'm not above messing up. And I mean this. If you can come up with me tonight and show me where I was wrong scripturally, I'll tell you I'm sorry. I've tried not to have the wrong spirit. Amen. But I'll tell you tonight, somebody's got to say something in this wicked day we're living in. I mean, it's gone crazy.
Yes.
A man looking at a man, so he looks. There ain't one of you men in here I don't think's ugly.
That's right.
I tell you, he made my skin crawl. I heard somebody say, he's a good looking man. Ugh. Phew. I'll be the same way with you women. Now, why are you saying that, preacher? Because it's error.
Amen.
The Bible said over there, for even the women did change, in Romans chapter 1, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's not natural man to want a man and a woman to want a woman. It's not natural. Thank God for the Word of God. It's not natural for men to burn their lust one toward another. And the Bible said it's a vile affection, and they'll receive the recompense of their error and the sin that they've committed in themselves. God don't have no gay children. I wish every transgender to get born again.
Sure.
I wish every Sodomite might get born again. You don't go away from here saying, I preach hate. I preach love about a God that let them know what their sin is. But that same God burn up cities of them. Amen. Somebody said you have to apologize, Sodom and Gomorrah. He ain't apologizing to nobody. God's still against it. Amen. God's still against sodomy. Well, I'm fixing to kill it, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody tonight. But somebody tell me if about four or five men walked in here and had on dresses, had on their pearls, had a purse, and they come walking in here, would anybody think, well, that's just normal?
Nope.
Just listen to me. I haven't looked around anybody, so if it's you tonight, I'm not trying to hurt you at all, but I believe you'd agree. The Bible said not to worry that which pertains to a man. Years ago, when the woman started walking around the community in pants, they thought something was wrong, just like we think something's wrong. Isn't that right? Everybody here all night, isn't that true? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not necessarily making it a salvation issue. Some people just don't know. That's what they've rolled up in. So I don't try to hammer on people, but I'm saying we better wake up, because we do know tonight that if a bunch of boys, if somebody come in here with a four or five, if these three boys, these four boys, these five, these six boys, excuse me, lady. Where's your pink Bible at tonight? Where's your purse at? Amen. Is that still wrong, sin? So a man can cross dress, but a woman can't. We can have drag queens, but we can't have drag kings. Trying to help us. Anybody see where we're at? Hadn't people lost their mind? Even if you don't know, if this is really bothering you, I'm not trying to bother you, but will you at least acknowledge, amen, that here's the only time it bothers anybody, when it messes up their sports. Yeah. Oh, Sean Hannity, he's gung-ho that the Muslims go against the gay community. Ain't no such thing.
Right. Amen?
Right. He's against people, against gay people and transgenders. You just listen real deep to him.
Come on.
Amen?
Yep.
What's that fellow over there? I don't have to get on the Democrats. What's them ones took over for Limbaugh? They're on there one day and saying, he shouldn't be playing sports, and he shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't be doing that. And then whenever they got back to him, they said, she. When he's playing sports on a women's league, he's a he. But if he's out here just in the normal everyday life, you allow him to be called a she. Y'all see why I'm preaching this tonight? Sodomy's still sin. If God hadn't turned them over, he can save them from it. Amen? But I ain't going to apologize to nobody or anything for what the Word of God has to say. God said it's an abomination in his sight, and God has judged it, is judging it, and will judge it.
Amen?
You know what led us to sodomy? Adultery. Greatest preacher that ever lived said, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. So you just take that wherever you want to. And I understand people do what they want to do. Everybody, most people here tonight, you know, I'm not trying to kick you down on what's happened in your life, but I'm not going to apologize that God hates putting away. He hates divorce. He hates adultery. And you know something that really crawls on my skin? And my wife could leave me tomorrow. I'm not praying. But I hope I never say this.
You do need to be civil if you're divorced. You need to be civil between your spouse, your wife. She still is in the sight of God. Amen? But I've heard them say, some of our friends we know, well, we just get along so much better since we divorced. I've heard of some say, we go on vacation together and their spouse and my spouse. Now, you don't need to be belligerent or be mean.
Right.
You can't change some things that have happened, but
right.
Let me at least say it this way. Don't say it in front of your kids.
Right.
You know what it says? It says it's all right to commit adultery.
Oh,
it'll be all right in the long run. I promise you, anybody sitting here tonight who's been divorced, and I'm not trying to hurt you any further, you ought to be the one to stand up, whether you thought you was a guilty party or not the guilty party, and there may have been, but I tell you, those folks ought to be the ones to stand up above anybody else and say, don't go that way. Do everything you can to keep it together. God still hates it. Hey, y'all hang on, all right? Hang on. We already dealt with fornication, all that, immodesty. All right, Lord. You know what tonight? He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. He said in the next chapter, he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I'm not trying to hurt you tonight. I'm trying to save you. Not me save you spiritually. But God can take His word. I'll tell you, if you receive with meekness the engrafted word, it's able to save your soul. In that context, he's talking about, amen, saving the children of God, those who got by God's own will, He begot them with the word of truth. And listen, it'd be sad tonight to receive the word by faith and going to heaven and be so hard-hearted you won't receive God's word tonight. And I'll tell you again, if you believe I've not said something biblically tonight, show me, and I'll tell you. But hey, where we're living at, we need to cry aloud and spare not.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what this message ought to do. A lot of these things we call big sin. But you know what I've tried to do when a man of God gets up and preaches even on sin that I'm not guilty of? I want to say like David, search me.
That's right.
Try me.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, see if there be any wicked way in me.
Yes.
You know why he said that? He wanted God to show him.
That's right.
I've tried to show you tonight. One more. This is just one I've just been seeing here recently. One of my daughters just got married. She married a pretty good fella. I saw on the radio. I hope he ain't listening. I ain't told him that. Sorry thing. But you know what I like about him? He's not worse than an infidel.
There you go, yeah.
Right. Amen. If any provide not for his own, especially they of his own household, he hath denied the faith,
yes,
and is worse than an infidel. If you're living off the government, if people are hurt, thank God for a nation where we can help them. I tell you what, there's too many sorry, low-down men. You know why mama can't stay in the house? Because daddy wants his toys. He's too lazy to work. Is there anything worse than an infidel? It's one thing to be a lost sinner and don't know no better. But you know what? To deny the faith, you had to know it. There's too many people in God's house that's too lazy to provide for mama and the kids.
Yep, right.
And that don't mean you have to work on Sunday.
Right. Amen.
I've heard them say that. Well, I got to work, take care of the family. I can't be there Sunday morning. I can't be there Sunday night. I can't be there Wednesday. This is, I believe, a biblical preference. You'll never convince me God gave you a job where you have to miss any service. Living by faith in Jesus above.
Amen.
Trusting, confiding. As long as it don't make my boss mad. And you shouldn't make him mad, but I wonder if you've just ever asked him. I don't know if I'm preaching to somebody or not. I'm on the radio too. If you just ever walked up and said, hey, I'll be here. I'll work hard every day of the week. But if I'm going to work here, I'm going to take my family to church.
Amen.
Sundays and Wednesdays.
Amen.
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 Well, tonight he said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sin, their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Amen.
Amen.
You know what that crowd was doing? That was a fasting crowd. You keep reading it, there's fasting, but there's exacting it. You know what that meant? Just a few more minutes, all right? Your flesh is like my flesh. While I was preaching against these things, you're exacting what you do right.
Uh-huh.
Or you think you do.
Yeah.
Well, don't God see this? Well, yeah, he sees that. He sees the good and the bad. He has eyes that run to and fro through the earth, beholding the good. He knows what he's doing good and the evil. Y'all stand up tonight before I keep preaching. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Y'all come. Listen, I love you tonight. I wouldn't try to hurt you, drive you away from God. I tell you not, if you're lost without God, you're separated from God already. He's got a hand that'll save you. I understand our culture. I understand maybe what you've been raised in, but I'm telling you tonight, let the light of the Word of God help you. It's sin in God's eyes, and that's who it matters. It doesn't matter what the government's polls say about it. It doesn't matter about what most preachers say about it. I had a fellow tell me as I was preaching outside of his beer joint or his liquor store, and on the front page they was bragging about how it'd been dry for all these years, and right there on the front page. And I went and asked the editor, I said, why is that the best news? And all of a sudden, and then the Lord told me to do this. I don't want any glory for it. Told me to go down there and preach outside the liquor store. And I preached against it. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm preaching against your liquor store. You know what he said? He said, my pastor's not against it. I said, God is. While they play tonight, will you come? I don't know if you're lost here tonight. On how you're living your life, disgracing your mom and your dad. Oh, you listen, it'll find you out. It's already fascinated you. I wonder if the shackles have got on yet. It's going to fasten you. Samson never dreamed where he got. It'll finish you. It'll finish you tonight. Say, you trying to scare me? Oh, no. I'm telling you what, there's no fear of God before their eyes in this day. Quit playing with it. Who'll come tonight? So I'm going to stop playing with that. I'm going to quit looking at that. You know how many people tonight that played too long in sin and it's fastened their minds to filth and wickedness? I forgot to get on pornography tonight. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Everybody in here has got a phone. You got pornography on it. Everybody. Thank God for filters. I understand what size of society we're living in, but I wonder if you're gawking at it too long. You've not done something to get that off there. You know why? Because it fascinates your flesh. I just got, when my eyes go past that, I'm glad the Holy Ghost said, hey, you better watch it. It's going to fasten a hold of you. Who'll come tonight? You've been looking at that pornography? You've been looking at filth? Oh no, we could go tonight. Some are at the altar giving you a chance to come. The reason I'm extended tonight, there's some at the altar. You know what God said to Isaiah? He said, don't withhold light. He said, don't refrain from telling them, Isaiah. He said, I want to reach out my hand to them. I want to hear their voice in my ear. You know when God will hear from us is when we repent of sin. America needs to hear from God again. You need to come. You lost. Thank God Jesus took every sin upon himself.
Amen.
Every one of them. Every one of them I preached about tonight. He was made that. Amen.